For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
4 o'clock. How are we all doing on this? August 2nd. Man, it's freaking August. Can you believe it?
I can't wait till this summer is over. I've had enough of it already.
Everybody takes vacation all the time.
Is it the heat?
Yes, the heat. No one works consistently. I'll be off next week. It's very hot outside. And I'm excited for football. I really am. Like, I don't like to rush things in life because we need to enjoy it. But I am rushing the summer. I'm done with it. By the way, hello, SNY. You are experiencing something that I have not done in many, many years. I'm wearing a sleeveless shirt. I've decided to show off the guns today. I'm wearing my Mercury Mets jersey. It was a giveaway the other day. I will stand up and pose. Tiki, can you describe to the radio audience the string beans that are hanging from my shoulders?
Yeah, they're actually not as flimsy and skinny as I thought they would be.
Thank you.
Even though the top of your shoulders are very, very pale.
Very, very white. Look at this thing. I'm going to pull this up. Look how white
it is. If not for the hair on your shoulders, they would look a lot whiter than they already are.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah, but your forearms are not too bad, man.
Thank you, man.
Don't you feel free?
You know what? The moment I switched, because I was wearing an undershirt previously for my Mercury Mets sleeveless shirt, I went to the bathroom, I took it off, I put this on, and I felt amazing. I was like, oh my God, this is the freest thing ever.
This is how you should live your life.
Yeah, and I think I'm going on a beach vacation next week. I'm going to be on the beach. It will also include a drunken Rico, by the way.
Huh.
It's all scheduled. I'm going to get...
On purpose.
Yeah, I'm going to get completely wasted. And then we're going to do a drunken Rico Bronya. That's my podcast where we talk about the Mets. I think we're gunning for Sunday night.
Okay.
So Sunday night after the Mets wrap up the Angels series, let's figure 11 o'clock at night. Give me a chance to get really lubed up.
You know your topic?
Yeah, we're just talking about the Mets. Yeah. And I'm going to be wasted. Yeah.
So the second drunken Rico of the year.
Second. This is the first time I'm doing it.
Really? Oh,
Don't throw Pete Hoffman under the bus, Sean.
Remember that one where the music just played and played and played?
Yes, that doesn't count as one. Believe it or not, last year, when I went on my annual beach vacation with my family, I did a drunken Rico. And the reason I'm comfortable doing it, because I'm sure many in the audience are like, why would you do a drunken Rico? You may say something inappropriate. You may get fired, like things like that. I am a lovable drunk. Yeah. I love everything.
So you're not crazy when you're drunk.
I'm crazy like in a kind of, I'm extra geeky. I'm already geeky.
Oh, there you go.
I'm very lovey.
It just exacerbates who you already are.
Bingo. Yeah. So there's nothing to be afraid of. Like, you may laugh at me. I may give you material to make fun of. But at the end of the day, nothing bad's going to happen. So that's coming up Sunday night. But the other thing I'm going to do is I think I'm going to go sleeveless the entire beach vacation. So I'm going to come back and my arms are actually going to be, like.
Nice.
Tanned of some nature. So. Yeah, anyhow, how's everybody doing? It's the summer, man. Half the people driving right now are driving to the beaches on Long Island or the Jersey Shore.
Or already there.
And they got a boombox listening to Evan and Tiki. Imagine doing that.
Boombox.
Does anyone have a boombox anymore?
I can tell you there was somebody on my subway to the Met game the other day blaring one.
Really?
Yeah, it wasn't rude at all.
You sound angry.
What were they listening to?
OMG by Jose Iglesias.
It was Wiz Khalifa, actually.
Oh, not bad.
I only know because Black and Yellow came on. I like that song, so I didn't mind it as much.
Nice.
Very good. Well, I'm so excited for football season that last night, minus the baseball, I did watch about, I'd say, a quarter of the Texans-Bears game.
Yeah.
So,
and then if you got any deeper into that, it got canceled because of lightning.
You know what's so crazy about that, Tiki? I didn't find out about that till the morning. Like, I was so bored after the 35 minutes. Like, I enjoyed the first part of it.
Yeah.
I watched it. I saw Davis Mills. I was like, oh, look, Davis Mills. He's still on the Texans. Great. And I saw him throw a touchdown on the opening drive. And I was like, cool, it's football. And I was really enamored by the kickoff rule, which we'll get to in a second. But then after, I think it was the Bear drive, I said, I'm out. And I didn't care what the result was. Sean bet on it. Did you win?
Nah, I lost. And unfortunately...
Why would you bet on this game?
Because my name is Sean Morash and I have a problem.
But did the bets count because it wasn't like a full game?
I'm glad you mentioned that. Because like a sicko, when Joe Buck says there's lightning in the area last time, I started rubbing my hands together. I go, oh my God, please refund. Please void this bet. But because the game already cleared the over-under number, they did not refund.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
But
okay.
If you bet a side, I believe the bets were void.
So the over-under was already cleared.
Yeah.
And so for that reason, why would you?
You were official. And on most books, remember, there's like immediate cash. And once it went over, you already got the money in your book. So it was already cash as a loss before we ever got there.
I got you. All right. And you watched the whole game?
Yeah. I was there to the bitter end.
So
and hung around for the interviews thinking it was going to restart.
You're amazing. So I was curious about the kickoff rule. I think we all knew about it, or maybe we forgot about it because it wasn't officially, I think it was officially announced over the spring when the rules committee met. And it's the XFL rule. I don't know how many people have watched the XFL. Do you want to describe it, or should I read the description of it for anyone who didn't see it?
You can read it, but it's simple. I mean, the kickoff is still from the 35-yard line. The ball is they're encouraging returns. That's why they did this new rule. And so the idea is for the ball to land between the goal line and the 20, and then you get a return. If it goes out of the back of the end zone, then the ball is placed on the 30.
Right.
If it is downed in the end zone, say it rolls in or you catch it in the end zone, you down it, it goes to the 20.
Mm-hmm.
If the kicking team kicks it short of the 20, so let's say it lands on the 25, then the ball goes to the 40.
Mm.
And so it's a lot of returns. The thing that I noticed in watching this kickoff, and I'm watching it again now on True Media, so I wanted to get the all 22. I meant to do it last night, but I'm doing it now, is that it's so dependent on single blocks, right? It's if one guy misses, and in the very first kickoff, the Chicago Bears, I forget his name. I was just looking it up.
Well,
MJ Stewart, or the Houston Texans, MJ Stewart, his back is turned to the guy he's got to block.
Mm.
So he's looking at the returner. So if the kick is coming this way, if you're looking on SNY, he's looking back at the returner. And so as soon as the returner catches the ball, he turns and blocks his guy. But the guy is like by him.
Right.
And he just goes and blows him up.
And the returner got like hit.
Got
hard.
Blown up.
So right away the first hit was like, well, that was a vicious hit.
I know. And I'm just like, what in the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
Just trust that when that guy starts running, he's running because the ball got caught.
Right, right.
So why are you looking at the returner? So I saw this over and over. And it's just individuals doing dumb things.
And the individuals
and it's causing the plays to get blown up.
The individuals are not allowed to move until the ball is caught by the receiver.
Yes.
So it's visually weird because you see the kicker. Everyone stands in their spots.
Yes.
And then as soon as the ball is caught by the returner, then you see all the action. It is only one game. And honestly, I saw three returns or two returns, whatever the heck I saw. It wasn't a lot. I love it already because here's what I know. All right. And first of all, to have this conversation, because I understand, like Giannotti said something this morning. I totally understand where he's coming from, but I don't think it's necessarily fair. And G was, I'm concerned about what's next. I can't worry about what's next. We all know what's next. Yeah, they're going to make more rules that are going to change the NFL. You're 1,000% right. I said to Tiki, I think in the next 30 years, it's going to become flag football, right?
No, okay? That's not going to happen.
It's just my wild prediction. So I totally get like that concern, that level of, I can't even enjoy this because I'm thinking about what's next. Forget about what's next. I'm talking about this individual play. This individual play is going to cause there to be returns. Every time. Every time.
Yes.
Because the kickers are not going to send it in the end zone and put a guy on the 30.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yep.
Because I think more times than not, you're going to stop your guy at about the 22 or 24-yard line. But then occasionally, you're going to have one break off.
Yeah.
And you're going to see a great return. But what I have become sick of as a football fan is the kickoff into the end zone over and over again. Especially if you watch a dome game.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, every time.
Well,
to the point where I said, just cancel the kickoff then. So if you're not going to cancel the kickoff because you want to make it a football play, this is perfect because now it's a football play.
It is. It feels like a scrimmage play. Now, the challenge is, how do you win at it? Like, how do you get good enough as a return team to design returns that find a lane? Because I thought that there would be a lot of space.
Yeah.
But what I saw and what I'm seeing now, rewatching it, is not a ton of space.
So you think most times guys are going to be shut down in the 20s?
Yes. Or, I mean, it felt like it was the same. It was averaging around the 25-yard line.
Exactly, which is 5 yards short of when a kicker decides, screw it,
right,
I'm putting in the end zone. Which is the 30.
Yes.
The Giants special teams coordinator yesterday, Michael Gobriel, said he was going to be watching this game. He had already written down and crafted out 47 different play designs on how to handle the kick returns, and he was going to be crossing some off based on what he saw in the game last night. So that just shows.
Like, yeah.
I think every team, at least the special teams coordinator, is going to pay attention to every preseason game and figure this out before the season.
The other thing is that when there is wind, they bring a holder in.
Mm-hmm.
So someone who holds the tee or holds the ball on a tee and he kicks it off. As soon as he kicks it off, that guy runs off the
field.
And that
happened. And
it's so bizarre. It happened like three times.
Yeah, Townsend, he was waving to the crowd as he ran off. It was very
that's funny. I think if coaches, and coaching is, like you said, they're going to study everything. If we ever get to the point where guys are real threats to return them for touchdowns, then maybe kickers will make the decision and coaches will make the decision
to kick it
just
out.
Just send in the end zone.
Yeah.
As of now, and we'll see if it becomes that, last year was unwatchable. Like, it was a waste of time. I think I read the stat was 22% were returned, which means 78% of kickoffs were just put in the end zone for a touchback.
Yes.
And it's like, it's nothing. It's not a football play. So I thought the NFL was at a moment where they just got to decide, do you just want to get rid of it and put a team at the 25-yard line every time? Or do you want to make it a play? I commend the NFL for making it a play.
I agree. And in addition to it being more exciting, it's supposed to be safer because the high-speed collisions, meaning running from the 35, making contact with someone on the 20, now is done.
Right.
Right. These collisions happen in a 5-yard span or so. Mm-hmm. So it's less violent.
And
now, guys can still get hurt, but
of course,
it's less explosively violent than you used to see.
There is a second part to this, though, that I need to address because I have a strong opinion on what to do. They have won me over. The NFL floated a rule many years ago that I remember talking about on the air with Beningo, and I didn't like it. And I said, this is stupid. Joe hated it. He probably still hates it, in fairness. And that was the idea that instead of an onside kick, you would allow a team to go for it on 4th and 20. This now has to be a thing.
Right, they need to implement that.
It has to be implemented because if you don't know, the onside kick rule is stupid. Basically, you have to declare it, and you can only declare it if you're losing in the fourth quarter of a game.
Yes.
That's insane.
No onside kicks until the fourth quarter.
I do not
only,
like that.
And only by the losing team.
By the losing team. So you can't do what Sean Payton did in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So my compromise to this is, okay, fine, you got me. If you want to try to get the football back, and you could do it any time a game, this would be my rule, any time a game, 4th and 20.
I love it. I've seen this happen in spring football, but there's a major, major flaw when switching over to the NFL.
What is?
Pass interference.
Mm. I'm glad you said that. I have an answer. I'm glad you said that.
That is when you institute reviewable pass interference?
So,
No. You just make it a 5-yard penalty.
Bingo.
Yeah, but then wouldn't you always take it?
So dialed into your brain?
Because you've worked with me for a year now.
But if it's close and you think that's going to make a reception, wouldn't
totally
you always
it.
Do it?
Sean, totally. It's a very fair point. It may have to be more than 5 yards. The one thing I can't do is automatic first down. That's the one thing I can't do. I can't do that. I can't, because I think then you're going to get too many of those cheapos. But there should be some kind of punishment. Now, I get it. Guy runs free.
Yeah.
You're just going to tackle him because you know it's not an automatic first down. Maybe there are levels of egregiousness where, because remember that used to be that rule of some pass interferences were 15. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It was personal fouls.
Personal fouls.
Some personal fouls were 15s and some were, I think, 5s.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
I would probably only on that play do something of that nature. But the point is, what they're trying to do right now of declaring the onside kick and only doing it when you're losing in the fourth quarter is some horse crap.
Right. It feels stupid.
It's stupid.
Yeah.
So they got me. They've convinced me that they've got to institute the 4th-and-20 play. It'll be very exciting. It will not be converted a lot, by the way. I mean, let's not be afraid.
Let's not forget also that the onside kick was very rarely converted.
Yes.
Like, it just never happened.
Yes.
I think we saw one last year.
By the Jets.
Right. And Was that two years ago?
That was 2 years ago. I didn't even remember what the Met record was last year. I just know
it was the Brown Jet game, remember?
Yes, it definitely was
the crazy comeback. I'll never forget it because it was like it was unbelievable that they had recovered an onside kick.
That was 2 years ago.
Yeah, it was 2 years ago. Yes.
Yeah, you're right.
These years kind of mesh together. Dude, the older you get, I was saying this to my wife. We go to the same place every summer. So where I'm going tonight is the same place I go every summer. And every time I walk in there, I'm like, was I just here? I just did the drunken recall like 5 minutes ago. Like, what are we doing here? Life is so crazy like that. Oh, by the way, completely unrelated. I apologize. I read this great article in the AP.
Okay.
That if you're not having relations enough with your wife, what you should do, because, you know, the kids work, normal things. I don't think you have this issue, by the way, T.
No, I don't.
You do it a lot, don't you?
Pretty regularly.
He's a god, this guy.
You got that awful announcing?
How long would you say? 3 times a week?
At least, yeah.
At least?
Yes.
This guy is just...
I don't have kids in my room. They don't come in the room.
So you're rubbing it in, aren't you?
They just stay in their beds.
Okay.
Tegan will sleep till 10 o'clock if we let her.
3 times a week?
Now, Brooklyn gets up, but Brooklyn's also the girl that wakes up at like 6:30, texts us, I'm going to Playa Bowls, which is a bowl place, like a breakfast or lunch.
Right.
It's Playa Bowls.
Oh, I get you.
And she'll ride her bike the mile to Playa Bowls and then come back.
So you got time.
Go smash into that hole right there.
3 times a week. Anyhow, so this conversation is not for you then, Teague.
By the way, he's not rubbing it in anybody's face.
So I read that if you never, like what you should do is once a day schedule a 6-second romantic kiss.
By the way, didn't I tell you this? Didn't I have this exact conversation? Not the romantic kiss.
What'd you say?
I said, schedule sex.
Well, that's different. I can't do that.
I'm serious.
Isn't that awkward when the iPhone alarm goes off?
No, absolutely not. And the reason why...
Or Google Meet?
The reason why is because when you were young and dating, and you didn't know, you were just kind of like, oh, we're going to do it tonight.
Right.
And you do. It was exciting. Like, you look forward to it.
That's true. That'd be very exciting.
Now you kind of, you're caught up with life. You don't look forward to it. Unless you schedule it.
No, I'm definitely...
And then you're looking forward to it.
I think that's definitely a great idea if you could possibly find the amount of time where that could happen. Yeah, what I read, though,
kids
is that...
Kids are going to camp at this time. This kid's going to camp at this time. I need an hour or 30 minutes or 5.
Kinky sex activity.
10, 12. Put it in the calendar.
I'm going to try that. But I did try the 6-second kiss today. Because I read that. I said apparently when you kiss... your significant other, like for 2 seconds, nothing happens. But at the 6-second mark, endorphins somehow like spread into the air.
Yes.
And it's very intimate. So today, my wife dropped me off at the train. And I said, I want to kiss you for 6 seconds. And she said, what? And I showed her the article.
Yeah.
And she read it. Now, we had our 3-year-old in the back seat, but I was like, screw it. He doesn't. You know, what's the difference? We're kissing. It's not like we're doing it. And so we kissed for 6 seconds. It was awesome.
Yeah.
So just to clarify.
By the way, Tracy and I have been doing that for about 2 months.
Really?
Yep. Good for you guys.
I don't do the peck. She's always like, when she pecks me, I'm like, that was a peck.
So you go big time kiss.
Big time kiss.
6 seconds.
6 seconds.
Wow. I like it. I'm doing it forever now.
Yes.
I get
a make forehead. It a habit.
I got a forehead tilted to me and told my breath stinks. You guys really going on.
Well, this is the first time we did it. I read the article. I think it was in the AP and in the New York Post.
Right. She read the same article.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, it must have been from something else that got appropriated back in the AP.
Yeah, I think it's an AP article that the Post picked up, but I read it, and I'm like, I'm going to do it. So just some friendly advice. I know we were just talking about football, and we'll get back to your calls. Try that. Just everybody try it. Just make out for 6 seconds with your significant other and see what happens.
So again, you did a 6-second kiss with your wife, and last night your better option was let me rank the GMs in town after one.
She was sleeping by that point.
Don't you know she goes to bed at like 8:15?
Yeah, tap on the shoulder.
It was a busy day, man. Right, let's go to Mike in New Orleans. How you doing, Mike?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Good. What's up?
What's up, dude?
Good. I'm so glad you guys are always sticking to the sports there. on a different note.
It's the middle of the summer,
you know,
Mike.
I was just wondering. Say that again.
You said it's the middle of the summer, Mike.
Oh, yeah. Hey, we're trying. We're trying. So, you know, I'm over here in New Orleans, the place I hope the Jets will be in February, the Super Bowl here. Mm-hmm. And I was just wondering, how do you think the Jets chant at MetLife will fare with the new kickoff rules? Because, you know, MetLife feeds off of the crowd. You have people running at 90 miles per hour to the Jets chant, and all of a sudden they're coming at each other from 10 yards away. Yeah. Oh, no, here comes the Jets chant. Like, do you think that'll kind of kill the game? Is it unimportant? Because that's, like, one of my favorite parts when I go to MetLife.
That the Jet chant going off while the kickoff is somehow going to, like, kill the what? The mood or the kickoff attempt?
No, I think the vibe of the crowd. So,
no, I think it just adds excitement. I mean, honestly, and really the question is, can this become a weapon? Now, the Jets had signed Tariq Cohen, hoping he would take advantage of this new rule. Not sure you guys heard this, but Tariq Cohen announced his retirement. So, obviously,
a couple of running backs that are not quite 30 that have retired.
Yeah. I wonder why.
Tariq, I think most of them have been because they just can't find a team.
Right.
Like they're still on the street at. And they're 27, 28 years old, and they haven't found a team, so they just retired. But Tariq Cohen was brought to the Jets specifically for this.
Yeah, it could have been like this specialty role that he somehow succeeds in. Look, the key is, and the Giants are going to try it. Obviously, everybody's going to try it.
Mm-hmm.
Can this become a weapon? Can this become something?
I think, yeah, so much more now is on the special teams coach, as Sean was alluding to. It's so much now about designing a way to create space. Because I thought there would be space, as I said before. There just isn't a ton of space.
Right.
So now you're going to have to find ways to create
it. I'll give you one idea. I'm certainly not a special teams coach or an offensive coordinator, but I was thinking about it last night. And I'm not sure if this was happening in the XFL. I would be totally handing that ball off. I would totally be trying misdirection and trying to have that planned out.
Yeah, you got to trust that the mesh point is going to be consistent, though. That's the hard thing about it.
Yeah.
And then once you do it once, then teams are going to be ready for it. But that's the adjustment part of it.
Yeah, I mean, look, this league is all about adjustments.
Right.
But I love the fact that it's something. Like, at the end of the day, yeah, we all hope that our team takes advantage of this, or at least it doesn't kill us as a team. But as a football fan who sits there every Sunday, the kickoff was dead.
Mm-hmm.
Like they, and I know they killed it. They killed it because of player safety. Fine. They killed the kickoff. So they had a choice. And that choice was either completely kill it and get rid of it or reimagine it. And the NFL reimagined it. And now it's going to be a play. And I can guarantee you this, even if teams eventually decide, you know what, we're sending it in the end zone, it's going to start at the 30. I can guarantee you it's not going to happen 78% of the time.
I agreed.
And last year it happened 78% of the time.
Right, and based on the early returns from the one preseason game that we've had, it's kind of easy to kind of stop it.
So far it looks that way.
So it's actually worth it to kick it off and let them return it.
Would you have wanted to return in this new format?
I would have liked the opportunity to touch the ball another time. So yes, I would have liked it. But I would be dependent upon those guys not to whiff like so many of these guys whiffed yesterday.
Yeah, that's going to be a key. Blocking matters. Frank and Scotch Plains. What's up, Frank?
What's up, Frank?
Hey guys, how are you? Listen, really quick, can you just explain to me what this new rule is?
What do you mean, the kickoff rule?
Yeah. I'm trying to read this. I've been very busy all day, and I haven't seen the news.
The kicker is at the 35, like he's always been, right? They moved it up, you know, to the 40, and then they moved it back to the 25, but then they moved it back to the 35. So they're kicking, or the 30, I should say. Now they're kicking from the 35-yard line. If the ball goes through the back of the end zone, then the ball gets placed on the 30. If the ball is downed by the returning team in the end zone, the ball is on the 25. And if it falls short of the 20, meaning the kicker doesn't get it to the 20, then it goes to the 40. So what we saw yesterday was a lot of kicks going in between, really like the 5 and the goal line.
Right. And remember, the guys who are lined up cannot move, and they're lined up in this specific zone.
Both sides.
Okay. Both sides between the 35 and the 30, and they can't move until the ball is caught. So everybody is standing still until the receiver catches the ball, and then the play begins.
Yeah. So, Frank, it basically becomes man-on-man blocking. So, you know what I mean? So it's you got the guy in front of you, you got the guy in front of you. Sometimes they stagger and they try to do these switch blocks, but you end up whiffing a lot.
Okay, so that's a segue into my point, Kiki. And my question is this. I understand. I totally empathize with the fact that there's you need to protect the players'
yes.
safety. It's a violent game, Kiki. Obviously,
right.
you know. You've been hit by mm-hmm. a very big linebacker, and it's not fun.
No.
I'm sure it's not fun, right?
No.
So, but at the end of the day, right, the game has changed. It's continuing to change. Do you see this eventually? I mean, I'm talking like 10 years, maybe 15.
Yeah, like 15 years.
Football,
is the game going to look different? I don't think so. I think there is a physicality that is it's like very necessary to play the game. And if that ever goes away, the game is going to go away.
So
no
what,
one's going to watch it if it's soft.
But think about what the NFL has done. It's again, people get very offended when I say mm-hmm. this, but this is true, and I'm not making any kind of political commentary. It's like how a democracy dies. It doesn't die overnight. There isn't just an overthrow of the government and that's it. It's like very slowly things happen, and then you wake up one day and you're like, oh my God, I'm living in a communist Russia. That's the NFL. And just hear me out on that comparison. If you watched a game from 20 years ago, it would be unrecognizable in a lot of ways.
Yeah. I mean, especially the hits.
So very slowly, every year, every 2 years, there's a change.
Mm-hmm.
And some like it, some don't like it. They're all done in the name of safety. But eventually, when you look up, you're like, holy crap, this sport is completely different. So I think flag football is an exaggeration that I have made and our last caller made. And I think when you hear that, the argument goes into a weird place because you're like, flag football, there always has to be tackling. Maybe not flag football, but again, if we wake up from a slumber in 2040, there is no doubt that the sport we're watching today will be very, very different, just like it is from 15 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, but I don't think unrecognizably different. Right? And there's always going to be tackling. There's always going to be contact. And they're getting rid of some of these dangerous plays because those are the plays where concussions were happening. I mean, think about a kickoff. You're starting from the 35-yard line, and you're basically sprinting to make full contact with a stationary player, you know, 35 yards away. That's just dangerous.
Mm.
You can't hit it. And so they end up putting offensive linemen, like reserve offensive linemen, in this wedge. And, you know, back in the day, they would like literally hold hands and just we're creating a wedge, I mean, to literally use the word, to go through these attacking, defenders. And the way you would defeat that is you just go in there and you blow up the lineman.
Yeah.
Right? You have the advantage because you're sprinting and he's kind of moving at a slower pace. Like, I think how stupid that is.
No, yes.
Right? And you had to be kind of crazy. Think about how, like, the mentality of special teams players historically has been, yeah, you got to be a little bit crazy to be a special teams player. And that's why.
Yeah, I get you.
It's because you're sprinting full speed. You got to go hit a guy who's bigger than you. Likely, even though they tell you with your shoulder, it's likely going to be part of your head. You're guaranteed to get a concussion.
No.
So they had to get rid of that.
I understand.
That's why they changed the kickoff rule. That's why they tried to get rid of the kickoff, the returns, by kicking it out of the end zone. They
right.
were okay with it. But it became such a non-play that they had to do something different.
They had a
and
choice.
This is a decent compromise.
I agree. They had a choice. Either get rid of it or
yes.
reimagine it. They're trying to reimagine it. So, as the Jets begin this season, a season where they better freaking win, to quote the wise Joe Benengo, they better freaking win. The Buffalo Bills are likely the team to beat in the AFC East. In fact, they are the betting favorites
yes.
to win the AFC East.
Makes sense.
As they should be. So I was reading a story the other day about Josh Allen I thought was so intriguing. I had such a smile on my face because it was so weird. And I like that because I want the Buffalo Bills to crumble. I do. So Tim Graham covers the Buffalo Bills for The Athletic. And he writes that Terry Pegula, the owner of the Bills, has, quote, implored Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean, Bills GM, to coax a more executive demeanor out of Josh Allen heading into the season.
A more executive demeanor.
A more executive demeanor. Specifically, he's been criticized internally, according to Tim Graham, Josh Allen has, for not separating himself from teammates.
What?
Yeah. That he's too close to his teammates and he needs to be more of a CEO.
What does that even mean?
I don't know.
I mean, the only thing I could speculate is that Like, you want your quarterback to be the face of the franchise. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's going to be the highest paid. I mean, he's making CEO money. So, I mean,
like, that he is.
Right? I mean, literal CEO money. And so you want him to behave that way. That is, give the proper answer, give, you know, always be available, look the part. Right? Don't be all raggedy and shaggy and all those other things. Look like a guy we're paying $50 million a year to. But also, it's to not be like the homeboy, right? Hey, let's go hang out and go have some beers at the wherever.
Why is that a problem?
To me, it's not.
Yeah.
I think that's exactly who Josh Allen is. And I honestly, in Buffalo, I think that's why he resonates so strongly.
I think it's part of it.
Because he feels like the everyman.
Yeah.
Right? The guy who maybe owns the shop on the corner, who does well, but you know what? He's always willing to buy you a drink or go hang out or go to the race or whatever the heck it is going on. And I don't think you can force Josh to change and expect him to feel comfortable in his own skin. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah.
And so I get what they're saying, but you've known him for now 5 years.
Yeah.
He's not going to be different. He's not going to change.
Well, it also feels like really, really stupid.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of like it. I smile because, wow, this feels like the first little match.
But it's a dumb gripe.
Oh, of course it is. It's almost like they want Josh Allen to be more like Russell Wilson. And I don't mean to knock Russell Wilson here, but Russell Wilson had a separation from his teammates, and that's why every former Seahawk goes out of their way to rip Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Now, you could argue it worked because they won. They went to 2 Super Bowls. They won a championship, and I've got nothing but respect in terms of what Russell accomplished in Seattle, but it almost sounds like Terry Pegula and the Buffalo Bills want Josh Allen to be more like Russell Wilson, and what that does is alienate a lot of his teammates.
Yeah, no, that's the last thing you want. It's the last, you don't.
But do you take it that way? CEO?
Well,
he's close to his teammates. Like, what the hell's the problem with that?
I don't know what's wrong with that. Like, I think, look, there's so much that goes into being a quarterback from knowing what every offensive player is doing so that when things go awry, you can fix it.
Right.
At the line of scrimmage, we have a bad play called. You know what? I can fix it and I can do it really quickly. It's just a lot of work. And so if you're hanging out, then you're not, I don't know, maximizing your ability to do all that work. But I think that's just who Josh is, and I think it works for them. Now, if there was something you could identify, like if they were saying specifically he doesn't do XYZ well, and I think he needs to spend more time doing that, so be the CEO type, I would say great.
Right.
But I don't see that.
No,
right?
I mean,
he's unique because he's aggressive. He wants to run the football. He'll jump over a defender.
Right.
Like, he'll do all those things, but Lamar Jackson does some of those things as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's not being asked to act like the CEO. He's just being asked to be himself.
Yeah, I
don't understand. I don't really understand this because it's worked for him so far.
Well, that's the key. Like, Josh Allen did not have his best year last year. Mm. And if I had to summarize it as an outsider, I would say he turned the ball over too much. That's what it came down to. He wasn't as good as he was a few years earlier. He wasn't as good as he was in 2020.
Well, let's be
he
honest.
Wasn't as good as he was when Brian Daboll was there.
Exactly.
Okay.
He missed Dabes. He missed that interaction.
Totally agree.
And then they ended up firing their offensive coordinator in the middle of the season because those things that you were talking about, he wasn't being held accountable for.
Right.
And so he just kept doing them. Right. Get the Jet game is a perfect example. Week one. And I said this on the Monday after that game. It felt like he was just like, You guys are my bitch. I can do whatever I want.
Yeah.
Right? And he's throwing the ball in the middle of the field.
And the truth is, Josh better realize he's our bitch.
At this point, he is.
Yeah.
Right? But my point is, he was doing irrational things because he wasn't being held accountable
for
it. And they ended up losing the game.
Yeah.
The Jets won that game. And so he wasn't being held. So they fired the offensive coordinator. Now Joe Brady is the offensive coordinator.
Right.
And he feels more in that Dabes mold.
Right.
And so you saw it corrected. They get to the AFC championship, or not the divisional round. Obviously, they lost to the Chiefs again, but still, like they turned it around. There was a point where I didn't think the Bills were going to make the postseason as badly as they were playing.
Absolutely looked that way. But I don't think that's about being an executive, being a CEO.
No.
But what I love about this, the reason I love a story like this is like the first brick on them just completely breaking up. The first brick in.
They're not breaking up.
Nah, you never
know. He's there forever.
But is he forever?
I mean, it feels like he is. He bought this like massive house up in Buffalo, and it's like amongst the people.
Tiki.
He just feels like one of those guys.
I totally understand how it feels that way, and maybe this is my own obsession.
Yeah.
It's not going to be forever. It's just nothing is forever. Like, Tom Brady didn't finish his career with the Patriots.
Yeah, but that's
Aaron Rodgers didn't finish his career with Green Bay.
I think part of that was because the Patriots they never paid him, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady was never top five paid quarterback.
Wasn't that part of that, Tom Brady? Like, he was such a great teammate. He wanted to save the cap space because Giselle's got all this money.
Maybe, but whatever. He never was. He never felt fully appreciated,
despite
the success.
But like every individual story is going to have something that leads to the breakup. I'm just telling you, like there's a vibe that's going to break up.
I don't see that.
Josh Allen's going to Hollywood at some point. And by Hollywood, maybe that's New York City. I've always thrown that out to you.
Really?
Yeah, Brian Daboll. Maybe that's your quarterback next year. Maybe it's Josh Allen.
We already did this.
I know.
Come on, what are we doing?
I'm not even entertaining it.
It's just more hopeful than anything. I would love to see that just end badly.
Also, doesn't it feel like the CEO thing ties into whatever was going on with him and Stephon Diggs, and now Diggs is out of there? Maybe this is just, hey, Josh got his wish, so if he's going to make the calls like that, push him now. He wants to run this team. He could take on that CEO role.
Maybe. But honestly, I think it's just like being... I don't know, aware that everything you do, somebody's watching. Everything.
Yeah. You know what I think it comes
personal
down to?
And professional. Like, everything you do, somebody's watching.
I think that the Buffalo Bills have reached this moment. And this is a moment that, as a sports fan, I actually kind of admire. They are now consistently really good. Mm-hmm. Okay? It's been a 5-year period where the Buffalo Bills are really good. They vary between 13 wins, 11 wins, 12. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, like that's a bad day. 11 wins is a bad day.
100%. Now, if you told that to a Buffalo Bill fan 9 years ago, like you're going to enter this world in which it's every year you're winning 11, 12, 13 games, they would say, sign me up. Like I would as a Jet fan. I raise my hand. Oh, my God. Give me the world where I'm winning 12 games every year. But the novelty has run off. The novelty of being good every year is no longer special.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there comes that point. The Bills have reached that point. The Pagulas have reached that point. And so now, you haven't won anything. You haven't been to a Super Bowl. It feels like you've underachieved despite that regular season success. And now you start to look around and say, okay, what are we doing wrong? Okay, what is the issue? And sometimes when you're at that point of trying to find the issue...
Right, you start nitpicking.
Yes! You start nitpicking things that are stupid. And that's where I think Buffalo's at. They are consistently good. They've entered that world of being a consistent winner, good for them.
Mm-hmm.
But they haven't won the big one. And now they're looking at their quarterback, their franchise quarterback, and they're saying, so what is it? When the truth is, here's the what is it. I have the answer. He's not, nor will he ever be, Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
That's the issue.
Right. And that guy, unfortunately, is not getting out of your way.
Yeah, he's a boogeyman.
He is never leaving.
That's the reality.
So unless Josh Allen's in an NFC team, he's always going to have to get through Pat Mahomes.
And
they almost did it last year.
Of course.
But they still have yet to figure out a way.
There's been a lot of almosts, Tiki, but they haven't done it.
Yeah.
And look, I'll give you a great example. So there are many in the audience, including one who works on the other side of the glass, who's very upset about these Madden NFL quarterback ratings. Obviously, Madden Football is a legendary video game. I was playing it when I was a kid. I kind of stopped about 5 years ago, but I probably should get back into it because Madden's awesome. It's maybe the greatest video game franchise ever created. But one thing I don't care about is the way guys are rated. But apparently that's a big deal. WWE 2K24, a game I play with both of my sons constantly, taking it on vacation. They got ratings for those wrestlers. I still can't believe how low they rated Bruno Sammartino. I mean, what are we doing? My dad looked at it and said, how are we screwing Bruno? You know what I mean?
I hear you.
Should be 100 million. Stone Cold Steve Austin's in 89? I mean, what are we doing here? But anyhow, Tiki's like, what the hell? So they do this with the
quarterbacks. Never played that one, by the way.
Never played 2K24?
No.
WWE?
Nope.
It's freaking amazing. Oh, my God.
I'll take your word for it.
You don't want me to set it up one day and bring it in? So
if you do, I'll play it.
Pat Mahomes is a 99, which is means you're perfect.
Yeah, because they don't, they won't give 100.
No, I don't think anyone's. Maybe Tom Brady, they gave him 100. They gave him a goat, a little goat 100.
Could you give 100? Like, he was not a super athlete.
I think. Yeah, I think for the video game, you could do whatever you want. It's a video game.
His speed was not high, so he'd never be 100.
Yeah, right.
Is that how they do it? Yeah, so maybe you're right.
Yeah. You know, like all those numbers you crunch to come up with your list, go back on the Odyssey Rewind, that's what they do.
Gotcha, gotcha. So Pat Mahomes is a 99. The second highest number last year was 95.
For like quarterback, who was it?
It was actually, last year was Joe Burrow. This year, it is no longer Joe Burrow. If you think about it, you'll know the answer. It's not Joe. Yeah, Joe Burrow fell from a 95 to a 93. He's still third overall. But the guy who's number two, if you give it like a lot of thought, which maybe you don't want to because it's Madden ratings. Guy had a great year last year.
Lamar?
Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, obviously. He won a second MVP.
See, that's what I'm saying.
By the time he's 27.
So Patrick Mahomes is a 90. Josh Allen is fourth at a 92. But that just shows you he is 7 points away from Pat Mahomes. Mm. I mean, that's just the way it is. But that's not the controversy. The controversy around here is that I saw the quarterbacks 1 through 32, and there's a guy not on the 1 through 32. Like, he didn't even make the top 32. And the guy I'm talking about is Daniel Jones.
Well, of course.
Sean, you okay?
Of course.
It's just, what are we doing?
Let's take the disrespect and use it as motivation.
But what is going on in this world now? Like, it's as if you defend Daniel Jones, you think he's like the greatest player on earth. No. Can we have some honest middle ground here?
Let's have an honest discussion.
There
Go
are
ahead.
Not 32 quarterbacks in the NFL better than Daniel Jones. And I'm not even asking Daniel Jones to be in the top half of the league. But once we get to like the below halfway point, 16 on, Baker Mayfield, Geno, Kyler Murray, Trevor Lawrence, who we compared to.
All of them are ahead of Daniel Jones, by the way. Okay. And they should be.
Is Bryce Young?
Bryce Young is on this list ahead of him. Justin Fields, Russell Wilson ahead of him. Anthony Richardson, who barely played, is ahead of him. Guys, I could rattle off all of those guys. Now tell me, Giants O-line situation, no number one receiver. Are any of those guys better than Daniel Jones? Definitively? You can say that?
But hold on.
But that is how you have to judge it.
No, I haven't said anything.
All right.
I literally didn't say
where you're going. I'm pissed off.
You don't have any idea where I'm going. First of all, I think some of the names you mentioned are better than Daniel Jones. Some of them are not, by the way.
Like, Young is not.
Yeah, bro, of course. Absolutely. Tiki, 1,000%. But Baker Mayfield is. At this point in time, he is. I would
take Baker Mayfield.
Baker's had success.
Yeah.
And he's done it in multiple places.
And he made the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
I mean, that counts for something.
Okay.
I think what you have to take into account with Daniel is that there's a lot of recency to this. Daniel Jones played 6 games last year. He only won one of them. His numbers were terrible. Mm-hmm. And by the way, before you guys yell at me, offensive line, wide receiver, of course I know. I'm giving you the answer on why he would be so low because...
He's not even a starting quarterback, according to them.
That's
the challenge.
That's the problem I have, is if there's recency to it, then there's inconsistencies in the recency, such as, like, Russell Wilson got benched at the end of the year. Geno wasn't great at
Russell
the end
Wilson
of the year.
Had a better year than Daniel Jones.
Trevor Lawrence didn't have a better year.
He got benched because of injury guarantee.
Yeah.
Okay, Bryce Young. But then we're putting some of the rookies, Anthony Richardson from a year ago, Justin Fields.
No, I'll give you the guy that shouldn't be there, and I can't believe I'm saying it because I'm very loyal to the redheaded community, and that's Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton didn't play last year.
The idea that Andy Dalton, and I thought Joe Flacco did a good job with the Browns. Joe Flacco's not better than Daniel Jones.
Now, Joe Flacco should be ahead of Daniel Jones. No, I disagree with you. See,
The Browns defense carried them last year, Evan, at the end.
Joe Flacco won more games than Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones won one game last year, bro. Mm.
Okay, so let's forget that he did in 2022.
Yeah.
This is what I'm talking about.
Comeback player of the year.
This is my point, though. This is where it's so hard to judge these things. Daniel Jones played with two, frankly, CFL tackles for the only games he got to play last year.
Okay.
These guys are not surviving that.
Here's the problem. So after last season, 2 years ago, when Daniel had a good year and they made the playoffs, I looked at his Madden rating, because I want to be fair about this. And Daniel Jones was a 75, which for now would put him about 21st or 22nd.
Yeah, which is felt about right.
I'm fine with that.
Off of a good year. Now he's coming off a year in which he barely played.
So then
of course he's going to go down.
So then how is Aaron Rodgers ahead of C.J. Stroud in this list?
Because Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Famer. You want to play this game?
Okay.
Don't compare Daniel Jones to Aaron Rodgers.
But this is not Madden 2020.
That. Okay, the year before that...
I'm not comparing Aaron Rodgers to Daniel Jones.
No, but that's why Aaron Rodgers, I thought, was disrespectful.
What I'm telling you is it's inconsistent.
That's why he was 11th. That's why Aaron Rodgers is trailing Kirk Cousins, also coming off an Achilles, and trailing Brock Purdy and Tua and Herbert and Hurts, because, he's 40, he's off an Achilles, totally agree, but that's why he's 11th. Because if he was healthy, he wouldn't be 11, he'd be in the top 5. He'd be ahead of Dak Prescott.
Okay. I mean, because the last time we saw Aaron Rodgers and Daniel Jones play this full seasons, they both basically had identical stats. So that's neither here nor there.
So what does that mean?
My point is, why are we judging Aaron Rodgers, but he didn't play last year, when Daniel Jones basically didn't play
last
year?
He dropped two. That's why Aaron Rodgers is 11th.
Do you
agree with that, Teak?
Yeah. I mean, I get it, but Aaron Rodgers gets the benefit of the doubt, whereas Daniel Jones doesn't.
It's inconsistent,
sloppy.
It's inconsistent, sloppy ratings. That's all. And I just think, whether it's training camp tweets, whether it's Madden, people who want to defend Daniel Jones are made out to think he's all of it. It's not. But we can acknowledge one thing. He's middle of the road.
Where should he be in these ratings?
Honestly, I'd have him right around 19-20.
I completely disagree with him.
Okay.
And I like Daniel Jones. I'm just being fair to the spirit of the Madden rating. Mm-hmm. I think he's got to be in the mid to late 20s. And that doesn't mean I think he
stinks. It's hard for me to put rookies above a guy.
Yeah, that's tough too. I agree, because with rookies, it's like,
you have no idea if these rookies are going to be anything close to good.
Yeah. Right now, Jaden Daniels and Drake May both are at 74. Caleb Williams is at a 76. So they basically gave the rookies kind of that average in the same range number. They didn't rank J.J. McCarthy, though. That's got to make you feel good. He's not ahead of Daniel Jones.
I mean, at that point, snap the game in half and throw it into the ocean.
Do you play Madden, Sean?
I used to. I have far less time with two young kids.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel the same way, but there's a part of me that wants to get back into it. Because I feel like, I think you love it, bro.
I used to, but now I just have zero bandwidth.
When did you play it?
When I was younger. Like, so when my kids were, I don't know, 5 and 6.
Yeah, but how old were you? Post-retirement, you were playing Madden?
No. No, I was still playing.
Okay, so wait, you were playing in the NFL and playing Madden?
Yeah.
That's kind of funny.
Dude, they have it in the locker room.
I guess that's a popular thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Would you be yourself?
No.
Who would you be, the Cowboys?
No.
Who would you be, the Eagles?
No. Who would you be? Tampa.
You're always Tampa? Oh, because you want to be your brother?
Yeah.
You take the easy way out all the time. It's like when I asked him if I dropped dead, who do you want as his new radio partner? And his answer is Rondé Barber. It's the barbershop reunion. Sean's got a Cinco de Five-O list coming up. Plus, the New York Yankees begin a stretch of games in which they can fatten up. But, and maybe this is the way my brain works, the playoff schedule came out in Major League Baseball, and why it's huge news for the New York Yankees and could very well change their entire postseason strategy. I'll lay it out for you coming up.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.